Oh, that's right. Meet Me at the Diner is alive and well this afternoon, and although we won't be serving up any refreshments here this afternoon, we were able to get Lieutenant Governor Kevin Bryant, who is also running for governor for the great state of South Carolina, to come by and sit down with us this afternoon. How you doing, Kevin?
And I'm doing great, and I appreciate the opportunity to fellowship with you and your listeners this afternoon.
Absolutely. Well, you've been running around all morning long. What have you been doing today?
Well, we have visited some senior centers. The Office on Aging is in our office, Lieutenant Governor's office. We are promoting a item called a Knox Box, which law enforcement in Oconee County, law enforcement in Mount Pleasant, have offered to seniors. Should a senior want to have to give access to their home with law enforcement and the fire department, then it's a box similar to what a realtor uses, but they're more durable, more secure. And then we just spoke with the sheriff of Greenwood and made the offer to him. If that's something that he wants to promote, we just wanted to.
That's a really good thing for seniors living alone.
It is. It does two things. One is if a first responder needs to get in your home, it speeds up the process. Mm-hmm. And if there's a problem and they have to break down your door, well, now you got two problems. You got to fix your door, and then you've got whatever they had to come in and rescue you for. So a lot of seniors are taking advantage of that. Family in Mount Pleasant actually were two seniors who had a quadriplegic daughter that they were taking care of. It was just amazing of their commitment to taking care of their daughter. That was inspiring. But we will be with the Greenwood County Republican Party tonight, and then
that's at 7 o'clock at the library,
right, for anybody who would like to come. And then we go to Columbia. We've got the Office on Aging, and then I preside over the Senate. So the tax collectors convene at 2 o'clock tomorrow. So you're safe until 2 o'clock tomorrow. And then grab your wallet.
Okay. Well, there you go. You know, on the Office of Aging, I've always had a passion for mm-hmm. that, and had quite a good relationship with Andre Bauer mm-hmm. when he was Lieutenant Governor and was doing, really brought to the fore, I think, the Office on Aging. One of the things that really needs to be addressed, and I'm sure that you are addressing it, is the respite care.
Yes.
And that has been expanded, hasn't it?
Yes. Respite care has been expanded. Assistance to caregivers. And we have in South Carolina, we've got professional caregivers, but those who aren't professionals taking care of their neighbors and their loved ones, family members, we have nearly 700,000 caregivers in South Carolina, which is a example of the character and integrity of South Carolina. We take care of each other.
Correct.
And that's been good, and folks need assistance. And our mission is to do whatever we can do to help a senior stay home as long as possible.
Keep them in the home.
Yes. They want to be home. Their family members want to be home. The future generations having that senior, all the life knowledge that they benefit from. And when we help a senior center that's providing meals, transportation, we have distributed some grants of taxpayer dollars. I'm not the politician that pretends I'm giving something away. It's taxpayer dollars. Some get as much as $300,000, but you can serve thousands of seniors with that. But if you're talking skilled nursing care or assisted living, that $300 doesn't go very far. So helping a senior stay home is good for the senior, good for the family member, and it's good for the taxpayer.
It's good for the family member if they can get some time away.
Yes.
And I tell you what, I think one of the invaluable services that is available, well, in our community and in so many communities, is Meals on Wheels, mm-hmm. because they check on that person. They know when they're in good shape. They know when they're not in good shape. It's just so important that those services get to continue.
I was blessed with an opportunity to join some meal deliveries with one of the centers in Lexington County. And every single home we went to, the senior was more interested in the visit than they were
the food.
than they were.
Exactly.
The food.
Yeah. So it's real, real important, and I think that's terrific. Now, I've heard that there's some talk about splitting that out. Would that ever split out from the Lieutenant Governor's office?
Well, it will. I agree with this, because this year we're going to let, for the very first time, we're going to elect our governor and lieutenant governor on the same ticket.
Correct.
The lieutenant governor's been elected independently in the past up until now. The Office on Aging will be a standalone executive level cabinet agency, not necessarily assigned to the lieutenant governor, because the enacting legislation, and I agree with this, that the governor and lieutenant governor should be able to decide the role of the lieutenant governor.
There's going to be, may vary from governor to governor.
Different personalities, different strengths, different backgrounds, and it will vary from administration to administration. So I believe that's a good thing, that we don't define the role of the lieutenant governor, since they'll be on the same ticket.
Exactly. So how would that office work then? Would that be a cabinet position?
It'll be a cabinet position with a director. We're very blessed to have an outstanding director now. His name's Daryl Broom, who has done a phenomenal job. And, you know, there's been a lot of transition in lieutenant governors in South Carolina the last several years. But the agency has held itself together. Rarely will I be talking to an agency and the agency is saying, give us more work. We provide all these services and we want to help more people.
I think that's a function of getting the word out there, isn't it?
It is. It is. And that's one of the reasons why we're here.
Right.
We have a new website, getcaresc.com. Getcaresc.com, that helps seniors. It's very user friendly. And it also helps the family members. We have a lot of retired folks in South Carolina who came from another state. So we have family members across the country that are benefiting from this website to help their loved ones here in South Carolina.
Absolutely. Well, that's another issue that really is going to have to be addressed here in South Carolina, is the retiree population, mm-hmm. and how we treat them coming into our state. And, of mm-hmm. course, there's a lot of questions about a lot of different issues there. But one of the issues I did want to get to today, Kevin, in the news, Rick Quinn was sentenced today for his crime of taking money and this type of thing. He, of course, was a former legislature, and he got
a slap on the wrist.
He got probation and community service, right?
Probation, 500 hours of community service, and a whopping $1,000 fine. I am just disappointed that when someone takes hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, under the table to sell their vote, and they get a slap on the wrist. I'm very, very disappointed in that sentencing. Very disappointed.
Was he up for very much of a sentence, though? Wasn't the max a year in prison?
That was the maximum, right. Yes, which sounds kind of light, even the maximum. We've got a corruption problem in South Carolina. This grand jury has been investigating this political corruption for years. Over 5 years. The FBI has been in South Carolina for over a year. And there have been indictments. There have been removals of office. We saw this very lenient sentencing today. But it's still ongoing. We just don't know what's next. But we need to reform our, and part of the contract that I've proposed to South Carolina, we need ethics reform. Someone should not be able to get away with this for so long before a prosecutor can take notice and make the charges.
Well, I think the thing about it is it's not just Rick Quinn, correct? There are more tentacles to this thing than what has even come forth
so far.
Well,
Rick Quinn got the sentence today.
Right.
His father is a very, very powerful figure in the political arena in the Columbia bubble. The tentacles go into going to SCANA, going to Blue Cross, going to University of South Carolina, all over the place. And I've never used a political consultant that does business with the state. I just, uh, just doesn't, just doesn't appear right. Might mm-hmm. be legal. Well, in this case, it's illegal for what they've done. But the, like, you said it perfectly when you said the tentacles are far-reaching.
And they haven't even really gotten all the way through this
they
yet.
They haven't.
You know, but I think the thing that's so amazing to me is that if you're not in Columbia or you don't read the state paper and maybe the Charleston paper, you probably don't know all this is going on.
You're right. The state paper, the Post and Courier has, they've covered this issue a lot, but the media all over the rest of the state hasn't. But you'd be surprised, Ann. I got some questions about it in Walhalla this morning. So folks are getting on the internet, finding out about it. It's very, very bad.
Well, how do we avoid this situation, Kevin? How do you keep this type of thing from happening futuristically?
Well, I'll give you one example is members of the Senate are accountable to the Senate Ethics Committee, which mm-hmm. is made up of members of the Senate, members of the House are accountable to the House Ethics Committee, which are members of the House. We've got foxes guarding the hen house. There needs to be independent oversight.
I think when Governor Haley was here, she tried to get
and we got a little bit of independent oversight. I wasn't really happy. I think it was a baby step in the right direction. I believe I supported it in the end, but it wasn't anywhere near of what we really need. And hopefully this issue will force the legislature into some real ethics reform.
Do you think it will this year, though, Kevin, with SCANA and all these other issues, what's going to happen with the power plant and everything? Do you think that's going to happen, or do you think it's going to get pushed aside?
I think the ethics reform will probably come when the grand jury is through.
When will that be, Kevin?
Well, I would like to see them finish up. Now, I know they need to be thorough, but millions of dollars have been spent on this, and things seem to be moving terribly slow. I'd like to get this behind us, and then we need to go to prosecutors and say, hey, what kind of tools do you need to where we don't have something this big ever again in South Carolina?
Do you think, though, that I know you've made comments about our legislative state
yes.
here. I mean,
yes.
That's not exactly the way it's supposed to be, is
no,
it?
No, no. Our founders wanted three independent branches of government with checks and balances, the judiciary, the legislature, and the executive branch. We have one branch of government in South Carolina. That's the legislature. Top of that list is the Department of Transportation. The legislature has so much control over the decision-making in the Department of Transportation. We see way too many decisions based on politics more so than traffic flow. And I'm in the contract that I'm bringing around the whole state, I am proposing the DOT needs to be an executive cabinet-level agency under the governor so we know who to hold accountable. And as your governor, I will fix your roads based on public safety and traffic flow. And then you ask, well, how in the world do you get the legislature to let go of that power? And I have said probably 1,000 times in groups all over this state, I explain the structure of the DOT. I tell them it's like a football team with three head coaches and nine starting quarterbacks. You don't know who to hold accountable. There has yet to be a single taxpayer disagree with my proposal. And this is conservative groups. This is nonpartisan groups. Everybody that I've spoken to and explained this structure, and it takes a while to explain it.
Sure,
it
absolutely.
Does. You can't put this on a bumper sticker. But May tonight, mm-hmm. but I have yet to find a taxpayer disagree with this proposal.
I think they probably don't disagree with it, but I think the problem is moving the mountain could be very, very difficult to do.
Earlier today, I was telling you of Governor Sanford took the message to the taxpayer insisting on a DOT cabinet agency in 2008, and I supported this amendment, but mm-hmm. it failed by one vote in the Senate to make the DOT a cabinet agency. Mm-hmm. We are getting closer, and the road, folks, this issue's not going away. This gas tax is not going to fix your roads until we reform the DOT.
Well, I know one thing I'm sure that you probably probably have noticed is that the southern part of the state, the coast, gets a whole lot more help from the roads than what you being from the upstate and us being from the upstate.
Well, we have seen the flow go to Greenville in the past, and then it shifted down to Charleston, and now the money has shifted over to Florence. The Speaker of the House and the President Pro Tem are both from Florence. And I'll bring this message to Florence. They're benefiting right now.
Okay.
And I say, y'all know this isn't going to last forever. Do you want it to go away and then try to wait your turn until you have some legislators on the front row? Should Greenwood have to wait until they get some legislators on the front row to get more road funding than everywhere else in the state? I don't think so. We need to look at the whole state, look where the traffic is, look where the public safety has problems. That's how we need to make these decisions on which roads to fix. You're going to keep seeing potholes in Greenwood, and this gas tax isn't going to fix them. Let me give you one example.
Why not? We're spending all this money. Come on now, Kevin.
Have you ever driven from Florence to Pamplico, South Carolina?
Can't say
the
that.
Big metropolis of Pamplico.
It's been a good while.
You spent $350 million on a five-lane road going from Florence to Pamplico. You go check it out. You paid for it. That was a political decision. Next time you hit a pothole in Greenwood, you think of that $350 million that went to on that road to Pamplico.
Kevin, you may not believe this, but I've actually been out filling potholes with the DOT.
Good for you.
Good for you. We did a special on it.
Let me make it very clear. We have good people that work for the DOT.
Absolutely,
I'm not criticizing them. And we have good people on the commission. I'm not criticizing them. I'm criticizing the structure.
And the structure is the fact that our legislative state has too much power.
Yes. And I spent 12 years in the legislature, and my position now is the same as it was then, because one of the distinctives we bring to this debate for the next governor is I have a record. You remember Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify.
Right.
Everything you hear coming out of this campaign, I can point to a record of bills I voted for, bills I voted against, amendments I've offered, and things like that. So the other two distinctives, Ann, are I'm a pharmacist, so you have on your show a politician and a drug dealer. But seriously, I understand
Medicaid.
Well,
that could come into an interesting topic. You're a pharmacist, and there's lots of money coming in for drugs and everything.
Well, yes. Let me tell you about Medicaid spending. It's over a third of our budget. It used to be about 15%.
Right.
We've got to rein in Medicaid spending. The opioid crisis. I have a good understanding of that, being a pharmacist. And the third distinctive I would offer to you is I'm a small business owner. I understand the crippling effects of regulation on business. The best regulator of business is free market consumer choice. With a free market, you always get a better product at a lower price. Folks listening to your radio station, because you have good content now, I'll question your choice of guest today, but you have good,
oh, I don't.
You have good content.
Right.
And they can turn to another radio station because you have competitors.
Yep.
Next time you go out to eat, you're going to go to that restaurant because you get good food at a good price, not because of government regulation. So my answer to just about every problem that we face is free market consumer choice, and I'll offer it to the SCANA debacle that we're in the middle of. We eventually need to have consumer choice in energy, and we can do that.
Well, that should be probably a topic for another day, but I want to ask you, why did you decide to run for governor? I could ask you why you decided to go for the lieutenant governor's office. Why do you keep doing this to yourself, Kevin?
Well, because it's encouraging to have this conversation with people all over South Carolina. And I'm offering myself to lead, to take the message. I'm going to stay. As your governor, I'm going to spend as little time in the Columbia bubble as possible. I'm going to be around this state, listening to the concerns of the taxpayers of this state, and bringing them the message of reform, and that's how you get things done.
But we've already discussed that the governor doesn't have much power.
Well, this isn't about power. This is about accountability.
Okay.
I'm not in this for the power.
Well, for a balance, maybe we should call it a balance between the
yes.
legislative and the governor's office and judicial too. But
yes, a balance.
A balance.
Yeah.
And do you feel that I guess part of your decision had to be based on the fact that you felt that there could be more, and since Henry McMaster is our governor, you feel that you could do better.
I do, because I'm here again. I am now, as a candidate, as your lieutenant governor, and as your governor, I will constantly be bringing the message to the taxpayer. I'll be back on a regular basis talking to the taxpayers of Greenwood County. We've been to every corner of this state more than all the other campaigns combined because the people deserve that. The people deserve a one-on-one conversation more so than a 30-second soundbite on TV, and that's what we're offering.
You know, you brought up earlier about the gas tax, mm-hmm. and that you felt, I think you said, that the governor should have been more involved.
The governor should have been more involved in the gas tax debate. There were two critical issues to the gas tax debate. One is the Department of Transportation being a cabinet agency, like I mentioned. Another is there was an amendment to offset the gas tax with an income tax reduction. With leadership, we would have gotten both of those. Is the gas tax fair? Yes. The more you drive, the more gas you buy. That money goes to fix the roads. And there are a lot of folks from out of state that buy gas here. But I will remind you that since 2008 till now, the revenue for our roads has gone from $1 billion to close to $2 billion. So the money is there. My preference would have been, let's reform the DOT. Let's see if we can fix our roads with what we have before we start putting more money into it. But we are getting taxed to death in South Carolina.
You know,
they are nickel and diming us to death.
You know, there's one other issue, and it's about the money that's supposed to come back to the local governments.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been a deficit
yep.
issue for the cities in the state.
Let's talk about the legislative state again, Ann.
Okay.
The statute has a formula for aid to local subdivisions, that's the local government fund, and to the EFA, that's classroom funding. Every year, the legislature suspend, and this is called a proviso. A proviso is a budget amendment that you can suspend a law for a year.
Okay.
For the past 10 or more years, they have suspended those two statutes and underfunded the local government fund and underfunded the classroom funds. Now,
Because of the debacle of the stock market and all of that, right? I mean, isn't that what we were told? Yes, yeah. I think it was.
Back in 07, we had a stock market crash,
right.
But government revenue is growing by the billions. There is plenty of money, plenty of your money in Columbia to fund these things if we stick with the core functions of government, like roads, like education, like law enforcement. But unfortunately, government seems to think they need to do everything else.
Well, I want to give you 2 minutes now to tell us why you should be the governor of South Carolina.
Well, I will go back to the three distinctives. First, I'd like for folks to go to kevinbryant.com, check out the contract. Tell me what you like about it. Tell me what you don't like about it. Three distinctives: small business owner, health care, and I have a record. Everything you hear, I can point to a record and show you the votes that I've done what I'm telling you I will do as governor.
You have another minute.
Oh, well, we have a Facebook page. I'm a big believer in free speech. You just see what kind of folks like to post things on our
Absolutely.
On our website. And if long as they're, well, we do block some that are using filthy language, but I let folks have their say. I'm a big believer in free speech. I'm a big believer in freedom. I'm a big believer in free markets, like I've said. This energy problem, if we had consumer choice, we wouldn't have this problem. Government has got to get out of the way and let the free market forces work.
That means government has to step back.
Yes.
And it's very difficult for government that's entrenched and got those tentacles around our throat to do that.
Well, Ann, I am not interested in anything but promoting your liberty and protecting your wallet. That's how I sum up my record, is promoting your liberty and protecting your wallet.
Well, you are going to be this evening at 7 o'clock at the Greenwood County Library. You are going mm-hmm. to be there for the GOP meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I know you would encourage everybody to come
sure.
out, and I'm sure.
sure
they'll be taking questions and letting you ask.
I always try to limit my remarks to a few minutes and take questions.
Well, you've got quite a field. You just had a new person jump in the field. So Godspeed and keep on trucking out there.
Well, thank you again for the opportunity. It's been wonderful, and I appreciate this conversation. Let's do it again.
Absolutely. We will do it again. Thank you so much.